The whole idea of bar mitzvah is halacha l'moshe m'sinai. We have it handed down that a boy at the age of 13 becomes a man and responsible for all his mitzvahs, and a girl at the age of 12. Now you might ask the question, why is it that we don't actually find Feirush explicitly in the Torah the subject of bar mitzvah? And this is a matter which is raised by the Kli Yakor in his Perush in Vayikra Kaf Gimel. He says this is not mentioned, just like, in fact, the day of Matan Torah is not really mentioned explicitly. We celebrate Shavuos on the 6th and the 7th of Sivan, but we call it in our davening Zaman Matan Toroseinu, the time of the giving of our Torah. We don't actually say Yom Matan Toroseinu. Why is that? Because we don't want people to think that there is one special day when they receive the Torah. We don't want people to think there was one special day when they received the mitzvahs, because people should consider that every single day is one where they are being mekabel the Torah, receiving the Torah. Whether it is a personally, when one is the mitzvah, that responsibility for the mitzvahs imbues on him just at that day. And then does he think to himself, the day after is the mitzvah, oh well, I can throw that all off now. He goes to cheder right until the day of the mitzvah, and then he stops. Whereas really, that's the time to start. So the time to start is b'chol yom v'yom. Every single day, a person should be aware that he has been kabbal the Torah and the mitzvahs. In the same way, Rosh Hashanah, which is Yom Hadin, is not called Yom Hadin in the Torah. It's called Yom HaZikaron, but Yom Hadin, the day of judgment, when we might be trembling before Hashem, one should regard every single day as a kind of a day of judgment when one should be able to do teshuva, and not just earmark one specific day in the Jewish calendar. So each day one's mitzvah should be like new mitzvahs. And unfortunately there are some boys who reach the age of 13 and they think the main thing is the bar mitzvah meal, and afterwards they think they can forget everything. That is not the right approach. Another point which the Chasam Sofer brings up in his Perish of the Torah in Vayechi is that he asks, what is the very first mitzvah which the bar mitzvah boy is doing when he becomes bar mitzvah? Many will say it's Kriyas Shema Shel Arvis, you know, the bar mitzvah boy will daven at the Yomud, but the Chasam Sofer says something different. He says the very first mitzvah which the bar mitzvah boy does when he reaches the age of 13 is the mitzvah of Simcha. He is happy that his 13th birthday has arrived, and he's happy that he is receiving the Torah Olam Mitzvahs. Husos v'sameach, that he is now receiving these mitzvahs. And that simcha, he says, is a mitzvah sa'asei d'oraisa, in order to serve Hashem. So that is another idea of making a nice fuss for the bar mitzvah at that milestone of life. Indeed, it says, Ivdves Hashem b'simcha, serve Hashem with happiness, bo l'fon of v'nono. And the first letters of Bo Lefon Benono is Belev, with your heart. And when he has all his friends and relations coming, and there is a nice Seuda coming along, that gives the boy the feeling of the Simcha which he is supposed to have at such a wonderful time. There is another idea. Yes. Well, there are references and implications, like when Avraham Avinu made Seuda B'yom HaGomel Es Yitzchok, we told him in the Mefarshim that was his bar mitzvah, and the Seuda's bar mitzvah was being made by Avraham Avinu. So there are lots of implications. But the Torah doesn't actually say, you shall know that on the 13th day he becomes chayav bar mitzvahs. It's halacha l'moshe m'sinai. Alright, it doesn't necessarily say in the Torah that he should rejoice on that day. But there is another explanation from the Chasam Sofer, that just like Shavuos, which is the time of the giving of the Torah, is also the time of the harvesting. It's the time when we are happy because we're bringing in the wheat. And there is a combination between the material life and the spiritual life which comes together. That we are happy on Shavuos because we're bringing in the harvest, but the two have to go hand in hand. The harvest is the Simcha V'olam Hazeh, and the Kabbalah Samitzvahs is the Simcha V'olam Habo. And one should always tie those two together and realize that they are Toloi Habaha, Ein Kemach, Ein Torah, Ein Torah, Ein Kemach. So that's just an introduction. Bar mitzvahs nowadays have become a very commercialized affair, I mean, I know from my father and others from his generation how they just got called up on a Thursday morning and they drank a l'chaim and there was a small family meal and that was it. Now it's a bit more like the wedding. And well, the weddings are now different to what they used to be. I was, in fact, asked to chair a dinner of a bar mitzvah, and it was on the night before Lag BaOmer. If it's a sudas mitzvah, then surely you should be able to have music even earlier, even though it's in a sphera, because we know from the halacha that when you have a sudas mitzvah in the 3 weeks, or even in the 9 days, and in the sphera, then you can serve meat, and you can serve wine even in the 9 days, and so on. And Rav Avadia said, writes in his Tshuvas, Chavidas, that we treat the Sudas Mitzvah as such that you can have music at such times. But he writes that that there is Mokam Lahokel, let's put it that way. But the Minhag HaOlam is not to follow that in the 9 days. But in the Sfiras HaOmer, it's usually a bit more lenient. And the other thing is that if you do use Lag BaOmer as a heter to have music, then the heter is really in the daytime, because you've got to have part of the 33rd day to make the 33 days. So I didn't understand why the music could be played in the evening, but after night. I do know that certain Rabbonim have a tradition that there should be something a little bit less at a bar mitzvah suda than, say, at a wedding suda, like either no wine on the table or no music being played. There are some Rabbonim who like to have to see some sort of a limit. I heard that Rav Feldman of Munkshul doesn't go to a bar mitzvah suda if there is both music and wine or something like that. Zeichel Chorban, yeah. And that the whereas we let our hair down, so to speak, at the weddings, we will apply some limitation, Zeichel Chorban, at a bar mitzvah suda. There are such traditions. I'm speaking now not Lamaisa, because everyone goes what according to the Rav is saying. You have a handout in front of you from Hilchas Brachos, and if you look in the Shulchan Aruch in the middle column, it talks about Sifbeis. Shulchan Aruch says somebody who hasn't seen his friends for a long time, and he will make Shecheyonu. But if they had exchanged letters, then they don't. That's a halacha if you haven't seen a friend for 30 days. And for some strange reason, just there, the Ramah adds on. Have we got it then? It's if base, and then the small Rashi print in the middle, the Ramah Hagah Yesh Omrim. Some say, Misha Nasa Beno Bar Mitzvah, a person whose son becomes Bar Mitzvah, Yevorech Baruch Ato Hashem Elokeinu Melech Ho'olam,
Shepetorani Mi Onsho Shel Zeh, who has released me from the punishment of this one. We'll explain that in a moment. And the Ramah then puts in brackets that this is from the Maharil, V'tov levorech velo shem umalchus, and it is good to make the bracha without saying Hashem's name, Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam. And the Minhag HaOlam is usually when the father gets called up and he has had his aliyah, and at the end he says Baruch Shepetorani Me Onsho Shelzeh, and that is therefore without the Shem and Malchus.
But the father makes a bracha when the son becomes bar mitzvah, who has released me, as it were, from this boy's punishment. Or is it this boy's punishment? The Magen Avraham gives two explanations. If we look in the right-hand column, Magen Avraham, and you look at Sifkot and Dalad, we got it, that's the seventh line for Simon Reish Cafe, Bar Mitzvah, Hainu Kashenase Ben Yud Gimel V'Yomechod, when the mitzvah boy becomes 13 years old and 1 day. I should clarify what this means, and 1 day, because there are some people who mistakenly believe you have to wait till a day later before you can daven at the Omer. When that night is, when he's bar mitzvah, that is called 13 years and 1 day, because the last day of the calendar, from the previous day, that completes his 13th year. So when the birthday comes, that's already called part of the day being like the whole day. So now we have the custom to make the bracha b'shar shahanam ispalo, at the time when the boy is davening b'tzibur, o kore, or reading from the Torah, b'shabbos rishona, on the first Shabbos, She'oz no din harabim shehu bar mitzvah. Because then we are sort of notifying people that the boy has become bar mitzvah. Now, why do you notify people that the boy has become bar mitzvah? Is it to make sure that he gets lots of presents? No. The reason why we notify that the boy becomes bar mitzvah is so that people know he can be counted in a minyan. People know that he is now one of the gevirim who can count just like everybody else. Now, if we just skip out the next bit for the moment, we'll come back to that. Come down to the little hay, my own show shell there. The Mogen Avraham gives an explanation. Perush da'ad achshov, until now, ne'en asho av, kishechoto habein. The father is punished when the child made a mistake, a sin, when he did a sin, b'shvil shelo chamcho, because he hadn't trained him. If the duty is on the father to be mechanech the child, then if the child has done an avera, then the father gets punished. So now the father says, oh, thank goodness for that. I'm not going to be punished anymore for his sins. He will get the punishment himself. Good luck to him. Well, that might or might not be the feeling that the father has. But then the Mogen Avraham gives another explanation. Uvelavush perush, according to the Levush, ipcha, it's the other way around. He's saying, it doesn't mean that I'm not going to be punished anymore for his averus. It means he's not going to be punished anymore for my averus. Ipcho, it's the other way around. Until now, the son has been punished for the father's mistakes. Quite remarkable. Yes? Yes, I agree. But we're not talking here about the cop being punished for his own mistakes. The Levush here is talking about being punished for the father's mistakes. Yeah, a lot of the Mephoshim ask.
I mean, they don't count as mistakes.
The Mephoshim pounce on this second reason. The Maharshal in particular, the Chochmas Shlomo, is on this page near the bottom. And he said, how is this possible to be, and even if the son is punished, because we say, that sins are punished on the third and fourth generation. And he asks, well, what about when they're adults then? Means when they're adults, they're punished for their father's sins. So why should it say here just for the children's sins? And he finds great difficulty with the Levush. There is a big machlokus achronim of this parish. Yeah?
Where does the mother fit in?
Well, this comes back to what is the mitzvah of chinuch.
The mother should
Right. Well, the poskim do say that if there's no father around, he's not alive anymore, the mother does not say this bracha. Because the question is the mother duty bound on the mitzvah of chinuch like the father is? Some might say that if there's no father, then the duty of chinuch will go on the tzibur, on the community as a whole, and not necessarily on the mother's shoulders. Should the mother be expected to teach him everything if she herself is not fully familiar with some of the things she's supposed to teach?
Sure.
Who teaches the child the Malach HaGolan? Who teaches the child the Shema? It is the mother, definitely. But the poskim do not put this duty of the bracha on the mother. So there are questions raised about the two reasons given by the Mogen Avraham. There isn't really a lot of time to go into those. Some find more weight, easier weight, given to the first reason, and some to the second. There's also a big debate amongst the Achronim about whether the Shem and Malchus should be said. I have heard it said sometimes by fathers reciting Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, but the general minhag is not to. I'm just looking at the clock to decide whether I should really go into this in detail. If a person is going to be punished for the sins of his child, then why should he be so happy that from now on his child will be punished instead? If a person is... Alright, that might lead you then to more logic in the second reason. That a person feels glad that his child is not going to be punished for his mistakes, and that from now on his child is an independent person. I think the answer can be found in where we find this halacha. Strangely, it seems out of place here where we're talking about Shechiyonah and you haven't seen your friend for 30 days. Why does the Ramah choose to bring that halacha here? Because we're talking about, you say Shechianu at a time when you're really happy, when you've achieved something. And Baruch Hashem, when your son becomes a mitzvah, you have reached an achievement in your life, and you are happy as a result of it. Not because he's really being punished for all his sins, because he's not such a sinful boy, he's a good boy after all. And not so much that you're being punished as well, but because a milestone has been achieved, he is reached the altar of the mitzvahs, it is a milestone of life, you're going to get the nachas. A person is usually happy when the bar mitzvah of his son is reached, and even if he is a man who is no longer in touch with his family, whether it's divorce or whatever it is, you do see the father coming back and being proud of his son who becomes bar mitzvah. So he is happy, and when you're happy you say Shechianu, there is a simchas halev. So I think that the idea of punishment in all this is part of it, but the main simchas halev the person gets is when his son becomes bar mitzvah full stop. And when it comes to the rewards and the punishments, that might well be secondary. It's a very unusual thing to make a bracha about getting a punishment or not getting a punishment. But, it is significant that it's dafka here, where all the instances where a person is happy, pre-chodosh, you know, where you say Shechianu at a time when you've got Simchas Halev. And here you've got Simchas Halev. And what's the real Simchas Halev when your son becomes bar mitzvah? Is that you're not going to be punished anymore? Well, is your son such a bad, just a bad rascal? No, but there is this Simchas Halev concept. But there are lots of...
There is
the shayla.
Yeah,
this is written with bas mitzvah as well, that when a girl becomes 12 years old, although it's not written halacha, she says Shechianu, she should take beged chodosh or pre-chodosh, and have in mind the fact that she is now receiving the mitzvahs. Also, when a boy lays the tefillin for the first time, there are certain achronim who hold that he should say Shechianu, the minhag is not to. But yes, the idea does permeate through. But the father, here, in making this bracha, seems to be saying a certain kind of Shechianu, a variation of it. Yeah. There is a question about whether this bracha should be said when it is a stepson. Ben ishto, if a man marries a woman who has a son by her previous marriage, but he is bringing up this son, and he's also got a great simcha when this stepson is becoming bar mitzvah, should he make the bracha shechionim? So he says, according to the first reason of the Magen Avraham, the answer is yes. Because the first reason of the Magen Avraham is that, you know, is he responsible for the chinuch of this boy or isn't he? He's taken on himself a responsibility, and he has been teaching him the mitzvahs. And so, in the sense that if he failed to teach this boy, he's responsible, so he might make this bracha. But if it's the second reason, then the B'Tzel Achim says he wouldn't, for the Bush's reason.
Why didn't you bring the rhyme from Beth Basil or this year?
In what respect? Okay. Well, there is an idea of kibbud av aim there that you might give to, like Moshe Rabbeinu had to give cover to Yisro, and he asked Yisro permission. He asked Hashem, "Look, I can't go and deliver the Jewish people from Mitzrayim because I need permission first from Yisro." And Midrash Rabbah there says, from here we learn that somebody who brings a child into his house and treats him like his own son owes him more covered than that of his own father. It doesn't say the same covered, but more covered than that of his own father. So there's definitely a mitzvah of kibbud av aim for anyone who has brought a child into the house whom they don't have a legal responsibility for, halachic responsibility for from the outset. Yeah, it's an interesting idea. The minhag is quite prevalent for the boy to lame the sedra. We do put our kids under a lot of pressure, don't we? And it's interesting to note that amongst the Hasidic Olam, there isn't such an emphasis on this. In Chabad, I think they discourage the boy from laming at all, or he just does the mafit. And we might wonder, you know, why is there such a big difference in these customs? The minhag is brought down that the boy lines. The minhag is brought down from very early sources that the boy makes a drosha. There is a sefer minhag b'Maisa, where the work, which was the town of Worms, and the sefer Yosef Ometz, which says that the minhag is that the boy lines the whole sedra because he's doing a kabbalah satorah, he's receiving the Torah on himself, and so he lines the whole sedra. Although there are poskim who say this is a big mistake. They are saying that if the boy is made to line the whole sidra, it will take him away from his seder limud, it will take him away from learning lots of halachas which he has to know, and what is regarded as the ancillary becomes the main thing in the whole b'mitzvah. And so the sefer Shari Halacha B'minhag brings down some views which says that the boy should not be encouraged to line the whole sidra. Okay. Comes to the b'mitzvah Suda, and if we look again at the Magen Avraham back halfway down Dalud, Kosov Yudches Bidikutim Simon Kaftes Shenitzvala Odom Lasos Suda. It's a mitzvah to make a special meal, the Yom Shenasu Beno Bar Mitzvah, on the day that his son becomes Bar Mitzvah, Kayom Shenichnas Lechupa, as if it is the day that he goes under the chupa. It's an interesting minhag that the Sfardim certainly always refer to the Bar Mitzvah boy as Hechatan. Umashma, and this implies the Hainu Beyom Shenichnas Lishnas Udalit. We're talking then about the actual day, the actual birthday. Well, the Amshel Sharona Perik Zayin, Debava Kama. Thank you. Because of the Im Hana Darish, the if the Bar Mitzvah boy gives it to Russia, Halesudas Mitzvah Afilu Eino Bosayim. So if it's inconvenient to have the Bar Mitzvah on the actual day, and you have it on another day, if he gives his drosha on that suda, then it is also called a sudas mitzvah. So sometimes it's not convenient to hold the Bar Mitzvah if his Bar Mitzvah birthday is on a Tuesday, and people are coming from abroad just for the weekend for his Bar Mitzvah, so you want to make it on the Thursday night. There's nothing wrong in that. You can make that on that day, although it's still good to do something on the actual Tuesday. Something, even if it's small, Yom Shanasa Bo Chaposo, and that is the day when he becomes like a chosel. Hence the idea of all the fuss. Now we spoke before about the idea of serving meat and wine, and that there is the minhag is brought down, the minhag likva suda al bosav hayayin, says the Sefer Nitei Gavriel, because it is a sudas mitzvah, and the reference is made to the 9 days as well, when you might serve both meat and wine. The question is raised by the Magen Avraham elsewhere, however, in fact in Hilchos Bris Mila, as to whether a sudas mitzvah has to have meat. I'm not trying to promote any causes of vegetarianism here now, but the Magen Avraham says that since the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash, it is not a mitzvah to have meat at a sudas mitzvah, the meat representing korbanos and so on, but you do have a chiyuv to have wine. And it is quite surprising, because sometimes you sit at a bar mitzvah suda, and you don't see wine on the table, and there might be meat being served, but the wine should surely be the ikka thing for a sudas mitzvah. So the same is written by Bris Mila, and the same is written by various other sudas mitzvah. The why less emphasis about meat, as I said, the Magen Avraham, Beis HaMikdash, and the Ramah writes, in fact, in Hilchos Anin of several places, that where people think that there is a chiyuv to have meat on Shabbos and Yom Tov, that is really reshus. It is not really a chovah. It is a reshus that you have a permission. What does it mean, a permission? Because if meat is the sort of food which you really like to have, then you will honour your Shabbos and Yom Tov with it. But it's not that it's a chiyuv to have it. The Bar Mitzvah Seuda, the custom is to send out the invitations, and we hereby invite you, and so and so, but it is brought down in the Sefer Nitei Gavriel that one should really treat the Bar Mitzvah Seuda just like a Bris Seuda. And a Bris Seuda, the minhag is you don't actually say to people, I hereby invite you, because then if they don't come, they might be performing a sin by not coming, by not responding to that invitation. And the minhag with the Bris Mila is to say to people, the Seuda will follow at such and such a place. So you inform them that it will happen. You don't actually say, I invite you. And according to this Sefer Nitei Gavriel, he says, from various other sources, that it's correct, Shelo lahazmin es chaver b'loshen shel hazmona. It's correct not to invite people in the terminology of we like to invite you. Because Bar Mitzvah Seuda is just as a chosh of a thing as a Bris Seuda. And you can't see any reason why we should make any distinction between the two. In the same way, he says, when you write the invitation, he says, a lot of people always put at the at the bottom of the invitation, when you have your simcha, we will respond, we will reciprocate, and we will rejoice with you. He says that that's a promise, and maybe you might not be able to keep to that promise. So, I do know that some people write in Yitz Hashem or Bili Neder or whatever clause they can put in as a safeguard. But there's something to be aware of when one is making. Nisei Gavriel, which I have in fact here, which is full of halachas of bar mitzvahs. I can show it to you later. Other things to be careful of: there is, if you are inviting people to bar mitzvah and there is a worry that they will come by car on Shabbos, what's the din? You should not be provoking people to be driving their cars on Shabbos. And unfortunately, there are some bar mitzvahs where Chilul Shabbos does take place, and it does raise the question whether you should have a celebration on Shabbos at all. There is nothing to suggest that you have to have a celebration for these people on Shabbos. So there are a number of things you can do. Either, number one, you can invite these people, say, for the Seudah, which is during the week, and not invite them for Shabbos. You have to have differently, specially printed invitations. Or what you do is, if you know that they would come by car, then you phone them up and you say, look, we would like to provide you with accommodation. The same shaila arises with Bali Tshuva when they have relations, they want them to come for Shabbos. You offer them to stay over Shabbos to give them their bed and breakfast or whatever it is. But if they then, in the end, say, no, thank you very much, it's all right, we're making our own arrangements, then you are no longer responsible. You have to do your bit, though, in providing them with sleeping accommodation.
I asked them when I made my last Tshuva on the Shabbos.
Yes.
And I had that problem. And I asked that question, I had two. One
was the one you just said that you let your
book if you
like. Another
one said, no, it's Messiah. If
they
know they're going to come anyway,
then
you shouldn't
invite them at all. Yeah, you're quite right. There's the mitzvah ivelo sitei mishol, where you don't provoke somebody to do an aveira. But apart from ivelo, there's Messiah le ledvar aveira. You are helping them to do an aveira, and you don't want to do that. Yeah, it creates complications and embarrassments and so on, but. Yeah.
The thing is, even if you didn't invite them to your bar mitzvah, they're leaving the Chal Shabbos on Shabbos in any case.
Yeah, but in other
words, but not as a result of you. Yeah, another problem with bar mitzvahs is often that the bar mitzvah boys know their sedra so well and so much by heart that they might not be reading properly every word from the Sefer Torah, because they might be reading just from their brain, especially if they look up and they see their auntie Sadie in the ladies' gallery and they give her a wave, and they might be reading their words by heart because they've been practicing it for 2 or 3 years. So every bar mitzvah boy has to be aware that every word which he says for the Kriyas HaTorah has to be read from the Sefer Torah, whether or not he knows it by heart. I was going to talk a little about bas mitzvah. We have once mentioned it when we spoke about imitating the ways of Gentiles. Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in his Tshuvas that we do not make a significant celebration because we don't want to imitate the Reform or the non-Jews, that when she comes of age she has this fuss and there are problems about tzinios with the girl hearing it in public or giving her speech in public in the shul. Certainly not. But he does say, yes, it is okay for her to have some celebration at home or whatever it is. Although, the way Rav Moshe writes, he writes about it more as though it's like a birthday party. Well, there's nothing wrong in having a kiddush in a shul, as we were discussing before, for a 70th or an 80th birthday, so you have a kiddush in a shul for a bas mitzvah. But other poskim write more, say the girl should be made to realize that this is the time when she is receiving on herself the Kabbalas Olam mitzvahs, and it's a very important milestone in her life. And this should be emphasized to her in a spiritual way, and not just necessarily an outing with her friends to the local ice rink, but something, that's what happens, but something in a spiritual sense. And Rav Avadia and other poskim do write how important it is that something is done, particularly in this day and age when so much fuss is made of the boy, so it should be made for the girl. As for myself, being a twin, having a twin sister, my parents made sure that they made a fuss of my twin sister when she became 12, because they knew that in 1 year's time all the fuss would be going on me. And it was a very nice event, which we had as a family and friends in the house. So, yes, that is praised and promoted by the poskim. I don't think I've really got much more time. There was something in the newspapers this week about silk screen printing. and that it's very possible to write the parashas of Tefillin and Sifrei Torah to look as though they were handwritten by this method of silk screen printing. And therefore it's very important that when one buys Tefillin for the Bar Mitzvah boy, that it's from a very reliable source, and that you know that the sofer who did it is about Terah and Yiras Shamayim. And it's even important to know that when the sofer writes the parashas of Tefillin, he shouldn't be listening to a Dafyomi tape when he's doing his writing. He has to be a person who is putting his full kavanah when he's writing the parashas, the Shem Mitzvahs Tefillin. Says the Chasam Sofer, why is it that we compare the Bar Mitzvah boy to the day of his chuppah? He says, because that is the time when he is accepting the Torah, and we say in the Pasuk, Torah Tzivolonu Moshe Marosho Kehilas Yaakov, and the word Marosho is phonetically related to Ma'urso. Ma'urso meaning marriage, that when we accept the Torah we are becoming married to Hashem and His Torah, and that is why it is as if it is the day of His Chuppah, and that is why it is a cause of great celebration. So for those of you who are going to be making Bar Mitzvah soon, or have been making Bar Mitzvahs in the past, Mazel Tov, you should have lots of nachas, and even if you haven't yet had that merit to be zocher, to be mishtatev with other people, it is a very great zechus and something to be enjoyed. Thank you very much.